This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, very good morning to all and sundry. This is the November 14th, 2019. I'm Chuang, and I'm joined by the lovely Wong Xiaoning.
Thank you, Chuang. We've missed you in the studio.
Yeah, you have?
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
Why would you?
Well, you're a beam of sunshine, right? Even at 6 a.m., you kind of bounce in and you bring joy to BFM.
I kind of miss you and Lin Mark together, actually.
Do you?
Yeah, I think you guys make a very nice pair. A little bit like, the good cop, bad cop, old cop, senior cop kind of thing.
What, Cagney and Lacey?
Cagney and Lacey, that's the one.
That show is so old,
Yeah, that pair, that's a very vicious pair.
But, did you call us vicious? You are terrible.
So, what have you been up to?
Working.
Working is good for the soul, you know.
That's true. Keep busy, right? Keep the mind active.
If you are busy and you produce a lot, which you do, of course, Wong Xiaoning, and then you multiply that by 6 million people, you've got national productivity. And then you've got a big growing economy and everybody's rich and everybody's happy.
In an ideal world. Unfortunately, that's not the case. My multiplier effect is probably not that great.
I think your multiplier effect is pretty big. But interesting. So what else has been happening in BFM this past few days? Because I've been away, right?
We've had some interesting stories. Particularly, we've been covering, of course, the elections that's coming up on this weekend.
It's all about Tanjung Piai nowadays.
Yeah. And the election offences. We're going to talk about streaming. We've been talking about Disney Plus. It launched yesterday.
Is there a story bigger in the world than the streaming wars nowadays? I know we'll be talking about this in a couple hours, but it is huge.
It is huge. I mean, you're talking about the fight between Netflix, honestly, and Disney Plus. There are other competitors like HBO, Hulu, but realistically, at the end of the day, who's going to survive?
Have you been watching what's happening on YouTube? Because I spend a lot of time on YouTube, right? And they've just launched their service, R17.90, cheaper if you buy the family pack. And then I think they've got some exclusives now. And they might just be the biggest game in town if they really do get it together.
Oh, I've never really watched YouTube, but it's interesting. I read somewhere that they're like, if your YouTube isn't like commercially viable, it's not attractive. They won't show it.
Oh, you mean if you're a creator?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Because, you know, I am a creator, right?
Yes. We know. We've seen your videos.
Yeah, I know. It's a work in progress.
Your Malaysian version of Hard Talk.
No, not Hard Talk. My Malaysian version of Joe Rogan.
Okay.
But, so what's on the docket for you?
Well,
today?
I mean, I'm sure we do. We contemplate the deep questions of life and death, right? So you must sometimes wonder the meaning of your existence. So deep, right, this morning?
Yeah.
Well, in Holland, there's a special place you can go to contemplate life. And it's not what you expect.
Interesting. I'm going to be talking about this development. And actually, in fact, it's a battle between the tree huggers and the non-tree huggers. And I will tell you who's winning. Okay, so stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. What an amazing track by Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters. Aurora is the track name.
They are such a cool band.
I saw them live at Wembley, actually.
How long ago was that?
About 100 million years. The crustacean period. Okay, so I've got a copy of the Vogue Business. Actually, I didn't know that Vogue had a business section. It's called VogueBusiness.com. It actually exists, okay? And this amazing tectonic shift in the world of fashion, which I'm obviously an integral part of, haute couture, you know, you can tell by the looks of...
Your black t-shirt and your, jeans. Marginally better than Julian. At least you have some variety in what you wear.
Yes. Well, that being said, so there's been a huge tectonic shift, Wong Xiaoning, in the world of high fashion. Apparently, even though sales of luxury leather goods have never been higher, as customer surveys indicate that there's been a decline in consumer appreciation and approval of leather goods in stores. And apparently, more people than ever before think that luxury leather, in fact, leather per se, is no longer appropriate. What do you think about that?
I'm so sad because I'm a big lover of leather.
Yes,
I know it's contradictory. I mean, I'm like, okay, you know, I want animals to have... I don't believe in animal cruelty, for sure.
But
okay?
Yet you're willing to wear them on your body.
Yeah, well, but then at the same time, don't we all... I mean, I eat meat. Yeah. So if I eat meat, what is the issue about wearing the leather? But I know even then I have contradictions because I don't wear fur, for example.
Yeah, so this is also talking about the decline of fur, which has been happening for a long time.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm within me, there are contradictions. I have things which are like no-go and some things which are go. So meat, eating meat, go. Wearing real leather, go. Wearing fur, a no-go. But then if you think about it, it all comes from an animal, right?
Yeah.
And if you are humanely putting the animal down, why can't you utilize every part of the animal properly then?
It's actually quite a lot of people because they've done this survey by Morning Consult and shared with Vogue Business. 37% of people in the UK and 23% in the US. So that's one out of, that's nearly one out of,
four
out of 10 in the UK.
Yeah.
And nearly one out of four in the US. And these are the biggest markets in the world. They think it's inappropriate. If they think it's inappropriate, that means they won't buy it. They might not buy in future, right? And what does that mean? Because you can see things like in the US now, you've got companies like Beyond Meat, which have these meat substitutes. And it's a big thing.
Yes.
They did really well. Obviously, they're declining a little bit now, but it's a big trend.
I don't know. Sometimes, okay. This is a question about whether you, how honest do you think you are when it comes to surveys?
That's
also,
right.
Because you just tick, 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 and then you think, yeah, maybe I shouldn't put that. I like leather. It's not very appropriate.
But then when you see that stuff from, say, Ferragamo, you think, oh my Lord, it's so nice.
And then when you see some of the numbers coming out of the luxury good brands, right?
Yeah.
I mean, their year-on-year sales just keep on increasing. So who's buying the leather then?
The ultra-rich. These guys are impervious to recessions.
Yeah, but then it's amazing. I mean, there must be not just the ultra-rich, but even the ordinary Joe out there is enjoying luxury.
Yeah. Potama Complex, you know, the merchants and the artisans, they do a roaring business in affordable leather.
Yeah. So everybody's enjoying it. So I'm not sure how real this data is, how real this survey is, or is it just because it's in a, you know, it's a US and UK thing. If we come to Asia, we still enjoy leather.
Okay, so a couple of years ago, I went to Singapore to attend the launch of the Bentley Continental. Amazing car, right?
For the edge,
okay?
Oh, I thought they were like, oh, better invite all our top customers. And Koh Soo Chiang is on the list.
Hey, please start from Penang. Penang people don't buy Bentleys, okay? You can see how many Bentleys are. There's less than three, okay? One of them belongs to not me. And then they made a big deal out of being sustainable and it's, you know, all these things, right? And I said, but look, you've got acres of leather and wood in your car. How sustainable are you? And they said to me, in the next model iteration, they will have a lot of substitutes in there. And this is Bentley, you know, on par with Rolls-Royce.
Well, I mean, honestly, it's probably going to be a trend, let's face it. There are some of us who will still use leather and still eat meat and, you know, even wear fur. Not that I'm approving of it.
Yeah.
But there are some who will make choices when they buy things. And then and you see these businesses kind of offering alternatives because they know it's a growing market, right?
Yeah.
They need to keep the customers coming in.
So then what about things like wool and cotton? Wool comes from, obviously, animals as well, right?
Yeah, but you don't have to kill a sheep to get wool, is it?
Okay, well, tell us what you think. Are you a pro leather or anti-leather? The number to WhatsApp is 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was The Kooks with a song that describes you, Wong Shaoding. So good looking.
Oh, you're so sweet, Koh Soo Chiang. I'm sure you're such a charmer with all the women.
You and Lin Mark, actually. So good looking.
Ayyo.
We miss you, Lin. But yeah. Okay, so... because we're talking about good looking, we're going to talk about life as well now. So this university in Holland, University of Radboud, I think, they've got an interesting and innovative way of helping students contemplate life and death. And as you were saying earlier, Wong Shaoding, what is the solution? What is the way they are looking at life?
Well, they let you lie there in a grave. A dark grave out there in the, you know, in the forest or in the garden or whatever, and they let you lie there for up to like 30 minutes to 3 hours.
3 hours?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends how long you can take it.
Okay, so I'm quite pantang, okay? Would you do that?
I'll be a little bit creeped out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not pantang. I just think it's a bit creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody actually used that grave. It's just dunk there.
Well, there's apparently a grave in Korea, South Korea, right?
Yes. But they don't dig a grave, but what they do is that they lie in a coffin.
Oh my gosh, that's even worse.
Yeah, and it's a therapy. So it's called the Hyeonwon Healing Center in Seoul. They run a program and it's supposed to be therapy. So what they do is they put on their burial shrouds and lie in these coffins with all the lights off for at least 10 minutes. And people actually find it very therapeutic because during that 10 minutes, they kind of contemplate life. And for some people, they just, you know, they cry or they sit there calmly. And for some people, the 10 minutes feels like almost an eternity.
Yeah, so if you can get beyond your reluctance and your superstition to do that, then it might be very useful, actually, because you know how when they say, you know, in movies, right, when you are about to die, you see your life flash before your very eyes. Maybe that's just a little glimpse, because as your producers were saying, our producers were saying, you will never know what it is to have to, you know, about life after death, or if there even is life after death, until you face it.
The other thing apparently is that when once they finish, because, okay, you lie in this coffin for 10 minutes in Korea, but it is a continuation of the program. And what happens is that they want you to shed your old life or to feel like you've let things go and be this new person after the end of the therapy. So I can see some logic of it. Maybe you do need this physical experience rather than just someone telling you, let it go, let it go. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, so because then you're it's the experiential thing.
Yeah, it's a ritualistic thing, right? So you feel, oh, I've done something to kind of let my past go. The things that make me unhappy, I'm free from them. I'm born the new person.
Yeah, I think everybody needs to change. But you know, this original story from Holland was actually aimed at university students. So 19, 20, 21 years old. These are kids. These are people who don't really, they haven't faced mortality yet. It's a very different proposition than when you're 45, 50, 55 years old, when the portals of, you know, whatever, are facing you much nearer than you are when you're 21. And then,
when you're 21, you think you have a whole life ahead
of
you,
right? Yes, you think that the days will never end, right?
And then, I mean, honestly, Tron, we blinked and now we are in our 40s and 50s. Yeah, like, very fast, isn't it? Yeah.
So for us, that idea is very close. But I think it's very important for people to just consider that there's... You know how when you're 21 years old, you think that life is interminable. It's going to life for an
eternity. Forever.
And then you do things and you take on jobs and you take on careers which you think will have an endless life to it, right? You cut down trees, you use plastic, you consume endless varieties of whatever smartphones. And then it's only when you come to near the end of it, then you realize things are never endless. There's always a finite supply. And I think that's interesting today because of climate change, which is obviously something we're going to talk about next. But then you realize, okay, well, there's a finite supply of not just time, but also resources.
Resources is one thing, and then also maybe you re-examine the things which actually you thought would bring you joy, but don't. Or don't bring you as much joy as you think it would.
Okay, such as?
Well, I mean, in your 20s, you have this imaginary career, right? Yeah. I think a lot of us have career goals. And we want this fast car, we want this big house, we want to buy these things, we need to go on holiday. And, you know, as you progress, and some of us are lucky enough to tick off those boxes, right? The bucket list. But when you're in your 40s and your 50s, you look at your bucket list and you might have some ticked off. But what actually do you remember most?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the thing you acquired, but maybe the time spent with family, friends. The trips you took together. Not the so much monetary things, right? Yeah. But the experience.
Yeah, and then I met some people. I met some people who have like 10, 15 cars in their garage. They never drive these cars. They've got no time.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I think to them it's almost like, oh, acquire for the sake of acquiring. Yeah. They've forgotten the joy of actually taking the car out on the road.
Yeah, and then the car starts to own them because you
it's a
maintain.
Headache, right?
Yeah, you know Ferrari, right? Do you know that?
No, I don't, Kosutra.
No. I'm just telling you, right? Because I have friends own
Because I don't know whether it's parked next to your Bentley, but never mind.
Not the poster of the Bentley. But you know, if you own a Ferrari, right? Every I think after every 5 years, you've got to take it in for this overhaul, which only Ferrari can do. And that overhaul costs you $150,000 to $200,000. It's got to be done. Even though you never drive the car, it's got to be done. Imagine that. So if you've got, say, two Ferraris, that's 400 grand in the hold already.
I didn't even contemplate it, Chuan. I'm just like hoping to go on a little chuti-chuti Malaysia. My goals are much shorter.
So what's the moral of the story here?
Live life like you mean it every day. You know, YOLO. You only live once.
You only live once. Okay, that's a good moral of the story. Next up is Day I Die by The National. Very appropriate. BFM 89.9. Good morning. This is BFM 89.9. That was the Cocteau Twins with Bluebird. I'm Chuang, joined by Wong Xiaoning, and we're talking about some of the most interesting things. Gripping headlines this morning. So one of the items that caught my eye, Wong Xiaoning, was the fact that in Venice, that tourist capital of Italy, everybody knows Venice because of the romantic associations, but it's been hit by climate change. And I think I think last week or something, St. Mark's Square, that's, you know, that very famous part of Venice, was submerged by more than 3 feet of water. The basilica there was flooded. According to officials, the tide peaked at nearly 6 feet, over 6 feet in height, which is only inches short of the record set 50 years ago.
Must have been really scary, right?
Must have been really scary. Apparently, and a couple of people died. One man in his house, he was electrocuted when the water just hit the items. And it made me think, because... a lot of low-lying countries around the world, like the Maldives, for example, many parts of Bangladesh, for example, Venice, clearly, Amsterdam, the whole of Netherlands is very flat.
Even Jakarta.
Even Jakarta, and that's why they're moving to Kalimantan, right?
Yeah, everybody seems to be getting flooded more frequently than in the past.
Yeah, so I don't know whether it's accelerating or whether it's really a part of human intervention because of where sea levels are rising, but it's becoming a real reality. And especially now, I was told by my father-in-law that Penang rained all of yesterday.
Was there any flooding? Because in Penang, I know, one of the results is that there's constant landslides, right?
Yeah.
And there have been some serious ones where I think there were fatalities. And of course, there was major inconvenience, right? Especially in some parts like Tanjung Bunga, I can
imagine.
That's right. Because there's only really one road in and one road
out, right?
So once there's a landslide, people can't get to the beach. I mean, to Feringi, Batu Feringi and all that, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Or you got to go one big loop around the other side.
Yeah, so it's a real thing. And in Penang, especially because there's so much development, there's not enough place for water to run off. So it just collects. And the UNESCO heritage site in Georgetown is always flooded when the rains hit. Yes, yes.
I don't know, you know, are we doing this to ourselves? It feels like it.
On one level, we
have the climate change. And of course, on the other level, it's like what you say, it's the overdevelopment and poor planning.
Poor planning. And of course, you know, Georgetown is a very old city, 200 years old, right? And there's not much you can do with an existing, other than obviously just move out, which is what Jakarta is doing. But then it made me think, right? You know how sometimes we vilify millennials and, oh, you know, they live in the moment and, they don't want to buy a house, don't want to buy a car because they don't want to be tied down. And I sometimes think that, you know, they've got a point because look at what we're doing to the earth.
Yeah, I mean, okay, some of it is our fault.
It's our fault.
Yeah.
And I don't care what Donald Trump thinks.
Climate change is real. Yeah,
you know?
It is. I mean, just look at the data. Okay, if you want to be a skeptic, all right, fine. But how can you deny the data? Occurrences of flooding is more frequent than ever. And then even things like bushfires in Australia.
Yeah.
They're so bad. They didn't happen so frequently. And now they seem to happen every alternate year. And even in California. I mean, some of it, they say, is due to coal mining that's raised temperatures in Australia. In the past, it's not like incidences like these didn't happen. They did. Flooding happened, bushfires happened, but they didn't happen as frequently as they do today.
Yeah.
Like almost every year, alternate year.
So, I mean, okay, so if I'm a 21-year-old student, having just graduated from university, how would all this alter my perception of life?
I think I would
become more like the millennials. I think I would not think too much into the future. I think I'd like to visit more places before I'm too old. Because you know, back in the day when I was a kid, right, I used to think about
which was a long time ago,
a million years ago, crustacean period. It was all about the arms race. Remember, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Think, oh, the Russians, the Cold War. They're gonna kill us.
And by the way,
all.
The Berlin Wall fell about 30 years ago.
Yeah.
It didn't seem that long ago a Cold War actually. Yeah.
So I think the young people have a point.
So what, YOLO again, Chuang?
I think so. I mean, look, some of the research, right? Venice is 1 meter above sea levels. In 100 years' time, according to the forecast, it'll be underwater. Then next is Amsterdam. Then next is Hamburg. Then next is St. Petersburg. And then LA, San Fran, and lower Manhattan. These cities are all below 4 meters. They're around about 4 meters above sea level and less.
Yeah, so in 10 years' time, they might not even be there.
Yeah, or 200 years if these forecasts... I think these forecasts are quite conservative.
Mm. Well, you know, it's a scary world out there. But I think everybody can do their little bit when it comes to climate change.
They can.
Just be more mindful with your own personal waste and things like that.
Well, if you can, tell us what you think, especially me, because I want to know what your opinions are. WhatsApp us and tell us how all these things are altering your perception and real movements in terms of how you conduct your life. 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, I'm Chuang, joined by Xiaoning, and that was Borderline by Tame Impala. It is now 6 6:50 in the morning, and it's the time of the morning where we talk about some of the social media comments that have been coming and also some of the news headlines. And we haven't exactly been deluged by social media this morning, Xiaoneng, bar the one by Roland Tan.
Yeah, who said that it was a rather morbid topic so early in the morning when we were talking about lying in a grave.
But I thought you were quite constructive and very positive.
Yeah, we are. We're basically saying, you know, there's no harm looking at your life and re-examining it and thinking about what's really important and going for it.
Yeah, things don't make you happy. Experiences in your family and your love, you know, your loved ones make you happy, right?
Yeah, because when honestly, when you close your eyes for the final time, it's not going to be like, oh, I bought that Ferrari. That's not going to be your thought.
Oh, no, hang on.
Maybe for you.
Okay, so I've got the newspapers in front of me. The Star, actually, you know, here we are, November 14th, right?
Yes.
We are about a month and a bit away, a month and 10 days from Christmas. Okay, that's 5 weeks, right?
Hey, fun fact, today is Prince Charles' birthday.
It is.
Happy birthday, Prince Charles.
Happy birthday, big ears. How are you, Dumbo?
My God, Chong, you're so rude.
He's got ears as big as Mick Jagger's lips, which is
moving on to the Straits Times.
Okay, Straits Times.
Okay, for me, the New Straits Times cover is Malaysia's aviation safety rating must be restored in 12 months. And if you turn the page, it talks about all the consequences of this downgrade to Category 2 and the need to put ourselves back into Category 1 because, you know, the impact is beyond just, you know, looking at the inability to fly to the US, but it has repercussions on the overall aviation sector.
Okay, so break it down, right? It's a technicality, right? It's got nothing to do with none of the carriers. But it's basically
it's CAM not CAM
civil,
not doing
civil aviation
its, yeah,
authority
CAM
yeah?
perhaps not doing its job, right?
And that's why the CEO resigned.
Yeah, I mean, there were 33 shortcomings, right? I think from the report, they FAA sent 300 questions to CAM, and they found 33 shortcomings, so they got downgraded to Category 2. As a result, they cannot fly to America directly. They also cannot code share with any American carriers.
And that's why the only carrier to the US now is via AirAsia, via Honolulu. And that's it. There's nothing else.
Yeah. I mean, they can continue with this flight. It's just that they can't get any new flights or new routes.
That means we're in the same category as Costa Rica and Ghana and also Thailand, which is interesting.
Yes. I think if you look at the data or in the past experiences, it's not so fast to get back into Category 1, but there needs to be some urgency. You know, I think even the NST in the editorial piece says, really, what's happening at CAM? How did this happen?
Anyway, something more positive. The Star going with the fact that since we're 5 weeks away from Christmas, the retailers are coming on in full force, as much as 50% off on some deals. And I think Dr. Sri Gary Chua, the Malaysian Retail Chain Association head, saying that it's time for the, you know, for everybody to pitch in and start buying big, and for malls and operators to, you know, to just get into the festive season, lah. And I think,
but if you don't feel rich, you just won't buy. I mean, you don't feel good.
Yeah,
it's a sentiment thing, isn't
it? It's a sentiment thing.
You might not have lost your job, honestly. You might be earning the same income.
But you're just not positive about the year ahead.
Yeah, then you're not going to spend. So how do you change that? It's a psychological thing, right? It's a sentiment thing.
It's
not
discretionary
so easy.
Spend.
Yeah, I mean, you can put up more decorations. The malls can be nicer. You can give more discounting. But if people don't feel good, they're just not going to take their wallet out.
Yeah, unless you think, okay, well, you know, to hell with it. Just, you know, live
YOLO.
In the moment. Live in the moment. There could be something there.
Okay, in the Financial Daily, the headline is Putrajaya's double barrel spending. Sorry, more of a cushion than a catalyst. We know GDP numbers are coming out on Friday, and maybe the outlook isn't that great, especially when we look into 2020. So there's an article in terms of how the government is spending to kind of cushion the potential slowdown.
Yeah, so that's the double barrel. We'll be talking about that in a couple more hours. In fact, after 7 o'clock. Some good news again from the Star. A Malaysian barista is world champion again. Not the legal barista, but the coffee barista.
Barista.
That's barrister, right?
Yes.
Yeah, very smiley guy by the name of Irvine Quek. Selek is the 2018 World Latte Art Champion.
Good for
Hooray!
Him, yeah.
Hooray. If latte creation was an Olympic sport, then maybe he'll win the gold medal.
Finally.
Okay, 6:55 in the morning. Do stay with us because we'll be coming back with the markets and some harder corporate news after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.